You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to a gentleman named Ed Steelstra, who is the owner along with his wife Tasha of Nature's Kennel Sled Dog Racing and Adventures. Good evening, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cheryl. Thanks for calling.
I love the story so much. Ed's taking a road trip the end of the month. It's kind of the ultimate road trip, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to be on the road with 16 dogs, and it's going to take us about 5 days to get to the beginning of our journey. And from there, my dogs and I are going to go by foot for about 10 to 12 days across Alaska.
Gee, and that people may be starting to get the idea, you're going to run the Iditarod. And I find this such a fascinating subject.
Well, thanks. It's a heck of a journey. I've done it 5 times before, and even with that kind of experience, I'm scared. I'll be honest. It's each year it's so different. I checked the weather up there today, and it was 42 below zero. So I hope it warms up a little bit before I get there.
Well, my, you must have been laying out in the sun in our weather here in Michigan the last couple of days.
I'm loving it.
Well, where is home for you right now? Where are you living?
I live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a small town called McMillan. We own about 150 dogs, so we kind of have to live in the middle of nowhere.
For the neighbors.
Yes. We want to be a good neighbor. In order to do that, we need to be far away.
Well, you know, we don't have near the time we would need to talk with you. So let's get down. You've done this before. Where did you get the interest in running the Iditarod?
You know, I don't even really remember. I started running dogs about 20 years ago, and it started as just a hobby, and then it, you know, kind of grew, well, I guess I'll do some racing, and then, well, if I did some racing, I'll do some longer races, and then, well, I might as well do the Super Bowl of racing and do the Iditarod, and then I did it once, and I got to the finish line and said, you know, I'll never do that again. That was ridiculous. That was hard. I was injured. It was just miserable experience. And then, you know, 6 months later, I'm signed up for my second one, and it just keeps going from there. And now it's really, it's not only my job, it's a lifestyle, and I love it.
Well, and I love the candor with it. You said you're scared. I mean, those of us who watch news clips and coverage of the Iditarod over the years, because, again, I find it an astonishing event, and see the countryside you travel over, gosh, I'd be scared just thinking about it, and I've never done it.
Yeah, and, well, it's 1,000 miles, so it'd be like going, you know, from Detroit to Florida by dog team. So if you can imagine anything you would encounter in that kind of terrain, I'm going to be doing it in the wintertime in Alaska where there's no roads, there's no supports, there's no doctors. There's 35 veterinarians that work the race, but we just... Yeah, it's an adventure. They call it the last great race for a reason.
Well, and I love, so the dogs are taken care of. If you have a problem, it better be something a vet can take care of, huh?
That's exactly it. There are a few stitches put into humans by veterinarians along the way, most definitely.
Well, tell me about the team that you take with you. You have 150 dogs. How many dogs do you take with you that are part of your team?
Well, starting in the fall, I actually only work with 24 of my dogs. So we have a staff of 7 guides that help me take care of the rest. And we do overnight adventures for people who want the Iditarod experience in Michigan but still want to be comfortable. So the 24 dogs I work with, really, they're a race team. The success I will have or the lack of success really comes down to how good of a job I did as a coach building a team. And this year, I'll be honest, my team is good. They're not great. I've had some great teams in the past, but we'll get to the finish line, but they're young, they're inexperienced, and there's going to be some things learned along the way this year.
And how long does this journey take? Once the Iditarod starts, and I believe it starts the 5th, doesn't it, of the first Saturday in March?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm on kind of an 11-day plan. The top teams this year should probably do it in about 9.5 days. So I'm hoping for a top 30 finish. But we'll kind of see. Really just going to watch my dogs, and, you know, if we're able to race, we'll race. If they need extra rest, we'll take some extra rest.
And I can't imagine the stories that you have to tell. Is there a memory or two that you would want to share with us that sticks out for you for whatever reason?
You know, when I get asked that question, it really comes down to just certain dogs bring back the memories. My leader my first 2 years was a dog named Badger. And he's really just one of those special dogs that can read your mind. You know, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he ran in harness till he was almost 14 years old. And he really got me to the finish line, not me. Anywhere where I screwed up, he helped cover for me. And, you know, we use verbal commands to direct the dogs down the trail. At times he would ignore me. Mm-hmm. And usually when he ignored me, I had to rethink my command, and odds are he was right and I was wrong. Another dog, Vinny, just led me through a horrific storm, and where I could hardly see two of my dogs, much less the 16 of them. And you know, when you get through something like that, you can't give that dog enough praise. And so definitely some special bonding moments with some team members.
Well, I can't imagine the relationship that you have together. And having watched some of this in the past, the dogs love to run, don't they?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I used to be one of the people opposed to the sport. I had listened to the propaganda, and I hadn't really gone to see it myself. And the first time I saw a dog team, though, I saw the happiest dogs I'd ever seen in my life. You know, just like a lab will fetch a tennis ball all day long, these dogs are bred to run and run and run and run. The harshest discipline we can give to one of our dogs is to leave them behind in the kennel and run everybody else. I mean, they definitely love to do this.
And when do you leave? The end of the month, but when is that?
We're going to head out with the dogs on the 23rd.
Very good. And does anybody else go with you?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I have a great pit crew to help me get to Alaska. A gentleman named Cliff Henning out of Wisconsin is my road mechanic, and Jim Levline and Ron Cleveland from Lower Michigan. Just two guys I can count on to drive through the worst of the weather and going through the mountains. Now, once the race starts, I'm on my own, but those guys will do a good job of making sure my dogs and I will get there safe.
Well, what an amazing adventure. I can't imagine. What does your wife think of all this? We've got about a minute left. That may be a longer than a minute answer, huh?
Yeah, she thinks it's absolutely 100% foolish, and she's right. I mean, day two or day three in the Iditarod, when my stomach's upset and I'm cranky because I haven't slept and it's 30 below zero, I have to be thinking, you know, boy, Tasha's right, and I should have just stayed home.
Well, she clearly married a man with an incredible sense of adventure. Safe travels to you, and we'll be following you, and I'd love to talk to you after you get back.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Ed Steelstra, who's heading out for the Iditarod the end of this month from the Upper Peninsula, we'll be wishing him well and safe travels. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.